Good morning. You get to bear with me while we maybe go over some familiar passages, but it's something that was on my heart over the last week, and so I wanted to touch on it. Maybe even some similar questions, but I was just thinking this morning, and you think of what is it that drew people to Jesus Christ? Not, I mean, what draws, like now, I guess, but thinking of then, you know, we would see it. You would see it with, as we read, you can see it with the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the sinners. Something that would draw them to Jesus Christ. You probably could say a few different things, right? You think of it now and you think of what it is, think of your own walk with the Lord. And even maybe before, sort of in this journey of coming to the Lord, you can probably think of people that you saw. What was it that drew you, if you had an interaction with somebody that there was something there, what was it that would, that it's like, what am I seeing? I'm seeing something. Right? It's the life of Jesus Christ, right? That's what drew them, right? It was the life. They just saw something that they had, we can honestly say, I think we could say they'd never seen before. They'd never seen it before. And probably in our own lives, some of us can testify to the fact we saw, all of a sudden we met someone and we saw something that we had never seen before. And it was life, right? So some of the familiar passages, right? It says, he who has the Son has life. He who has the Son does not have life. It's very simple. And we were talking recently and we just said, like, what is it within our fellowship, and you know, you think of, you know, perhaps as parents, you think of your children, you know, people you meet, your family members, friends. What is the greatest desire we would have? Somebody comes into this place that's never been here before. What would we want them to see? We'd want them to see Jesus, right? They'd want, and how do they see Jesus? They see the life of Jesus in us. That when they come in here, they're going to meet a diverse group of people. But what our desire would be is that they would see in us the life of Jesus Christ. So that they could have that same experience when they come in and they say, I went there. It has nothing to do with us in the sense that we're not, it's not drawing glory to any one individual. It's not, but it's that they would be ultimately drawn to Jesus Christ. And that happens when someone sees the life of Jesus Christ. And so then we can ask ourselves individually, as I ask myself, is that real? Is the life of Jesus Christ working in me each day? And is that happening? Because in our home, I'm standing too close to this. In our home, right? What is it that our children might see if we're a parent? If we're not a parent, what is your coworker going to see? What is a family member that doesn't know the Lord? What do they see? Do they see the life of Jesus Christ? Because that really is the crux of the matter. Right? We can have all knowledge and just be a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. You say, well, that verse is talking about if you don't have love. Having the life of Christ and having the love of Christ, these two go hand in hand. So if you have the life of Christ, the love of the Christ will also be working in you. So we don't have to separate those two thoughts, right? Do our children in us, see in us? And it's not to say that our children, every one of us will say, I'm not yet attained. Just like Paul, I'm not yet attained. But they're going to see our shortcomings. But they can still, in that, they can still see the life of Jesus Christ. I'm confident of that. They can see that. That part of that is going to be, what did Jesus say? And this, I'll say this is different. Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Now, he was humble of heart. He didn't sin. We know that. Jesus didn't sin. But we can be humble of heart, that if we stumble, and our children perhaps see it, maybe we have an outburst of anger, we just get frustrated, we can still see a way that we respond. Our desire is to overcome in that. I think we all agree, our desire is to grow and grow, that we would not. But even in that, our children could see the life of Christ to say, wow, the humility to just immediately humble themselves and make it right, and then to see that life just continue on. Right? So I've been thinking about that, You know, how do we lay hold of that life? And that was something new for me this morning, which really isn't new, but it just kind of grabbed me in a different way this morning as I was looking at a bunch of different verses. So I wanted to share that with you, if my notes will open. Technology. It's gone blank. Many passages as you look at this. When you think of, okay, so now I'll ask you this question. How do you lay hold of the life of Christ? And I kind of, when I was looking at this, I was looking at two sort of pieces to this equation. And it was something grabbed me that just, it's right there. It's in all the verses pretty much, but it just grabbed me in a different way, right? I quickly think of passages like in John chapter 6. You're going to bear with me while I restart this so I can see if I can get my notes back. John 6, verse 35 says this. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Jesus said this in John 7, the next chapter. He says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So this is kind of that first part that I see when I think of this is there's a coming to Jesus Christ, right? He says, come to me. He who comes to me will never hunger. If you come to me, you'll never thirst, right? And I'll go to the next step, right? If we go to Romans chapter 6, it says Romans chapter 6 talks about baptism, but talks about it in the sense of that, are we willing to be united with him in the likeness of his death, that we could also be reunited with him in the likeness of his resurrection, right? So there's this willingness to say, you know what, I'm willing to forsake all. And maybe we come to, we're saying, yeah, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm coming. And yes, I'm willing. You can hear people say, oh, you know what, no matter what the Lord would ask of me, I'm willing. And call me wherever he would take me, I'm willing. That is important. But the part that struck me this morning was the second half. And I was interested. I'm like, man, I don't think about this, the second half of these passages, quite as much. I think about those passages, Lord. And I'll think, these are good things. I'll think about this, Lord, this is critical. I'm not downplaying this. This is a critical part of the equation. I think about, Lord, am I trying to find my life in something else? That's very real. That's very easy to do. Right? If all of a sudden Jesus, we've talked about this many times, Jesus isn't satisfying. And this is so, so subtle. It's so tricky. All of a sudden I'm finding my life in something else. And it's interesting because it says in 1 Timothy 6, like God has given us all things richly to enjoy. He's warning the rich in this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. It's interesting. He supplies us with all things to enjoy. So I was like, well, you know, this is interesting, right? We want to be really on guard. Lord, I don't want what you've supplied to me, something you've given me that I can enjoy richly. I don't want to then turn and all of a sudden take that, which is, you know, intended to be a blessing, but all of a sudden I'm trying to find my life in it. My hope, it's gone from being a blessing that I can enjoy to something that I'm trying to find my life in. Or perhaps there's other things. I mean, I just, you know, all of a sudden, social media, right? Whether it's flipping through YouTube, just looking for something to watch. Like, it's not wrong, but all of a sudden, I'm just saying that because I could do that. I'm just trying to find something to watch. Just trying to find something to buy, whatever it is. But what we realize is it's subtle. We just don't even think anything of it. But all of a sudden, what maybe something that we've enjoyed or whatever, all of a sudden what's happening is the enemy is drawing us into a place where we don't realize it, but we're trying to find our life in that. Just looking for something that'll satisfy. So we absolutely need to be on guard against these things. We need to have that heart that says, Lord, I don't want to find my life in anything else. I want to find my life only in you. There's, you are, it is in you. right? We can, but I can have that head knowledge, but we need to be guarding our hearts. But this is the other part I wanted to touch on. So let's go back to those two passages. See if you caught the second. I didn't read the second part in one of them. Let's go back to John 6. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Go to John 7, 37 to 39. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, this one I didn't read the second part, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So we're coming to Jesus, second part. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. It struck me this morning because, you know, the thing that I think I've heard people say, they would say, if I asked them, are you, or I could be in this place too, I'll personalize it. You can say, Lord, I'm willing to give up whatever, Lord, whatever it is. So you have this heart where you're willing, you're saying, Lord, I'm willing to be crucified with you. And that we need. But then if you say, I've had people say to me, I tried that and it doesn't work. I did that and it didn't work. And so all of a sudden it dawned on me, it's like, wow, if we could perhaps have that heart that says, I'm willing, Lord, whatever you would ask of me, I'm willing. But mixed with that is actually unbelief. And it says that he who believes in me, that's the second half. When we get into his word, we have to, it's by faith as well. And that was the part that struck me. Maybe this is nothing. You're thinking, yeah, of course, Tim. But I share it because it struck me this morning. You know, we need to have that heart. But man, like this morning when I was reading the scriptures, they were bringing life as I read them. But I knew they're bringing life because it was being mixed with faith. It says of the Israelites, it says in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, what was the reprimand? The reprimand was that it says, They had the gospel preached to them just like us also, but it didn't benefit them because it wasn't mixed with faith, right? We can have everybody sit in a room. Like I was singing this morning, it's so interesting, right? You could hear testimonies of how somebody was at some meeting and they heard the word of God preached and they received it and they believed it and it brought life. And you think, how many people were there? And what was the difference? Why did that brother or sister, why did for them it bring life and salvation? For somebody else, it brought nothing. What was the difference? The difference was they heard the word of God and they believed it. It was mixed with faith. And it just struck me this morning, like, Lord, it's both. I need to have this heart that is, all those things are good things. I want to be on guard about seeking life and other things. I want to be in that place where I'm like, Lord, you know, if there's anything in my heart that you were to show me, I want to be at a place where I would be willing to surrender all again, even 20 some, whatever it is, years later from when I first made that decision to give you everything. I want to keep that heart where I'm still willing, but I also need to continue to be heeding his word and believing it. It's when we are in his word and it's being mixed with faith that it brings life. Romans 6, I said to you, it says that we believe that if we're united with him. But remember, it's the believing, right? We can surrender all. It says that, right? It says someone can surrender all of their garments. Surrender everything, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. And it says it profits them nothing. In that case, because it wasn't with love. But I would say to you, it's exactly the same. We can. There are people that have given up everything. Then you look at them and says, it's interesting because I don't see the life. Where's the life? And the life is there when we have a heart of surrender, but it's also faith. That was the part that just struck me. We need to have faith. When we read the word of God, and I shared this testimony Friday night, I heard someone talking. You know, you sing, whatever it is, there has to be faith when we read the word of God. That Lord, and what is faith? Faith comes when all of a sudden you're in a battle. And you read a scripture and there's faith, it's mixed with faith, and all of a sudden you get joy. What's the joy? The joy is that, praise God, he's going to help me overcome. And it's just joy comes. Why? Nothing has changed. Your circumstance hasn't changed. It's just faith all of a sudden has come in your heart. You know what? I believe he's going to help me overcome. and all of a sudden you just have life. What was it? It was faith. When you heard the word of God, faith came, and it's like, praise God. It would be no different. Like Ed shared a natural testimony of how God had mercy on him. But think of, we could be in our own home. I could be sitting there, my wife, I could be downcast. And I just, you know, I just need a few minutes to get alone with the Lord, and I'm desperate and probably walking in. Maybe I'm not even in faith when I'm walking in, but I just make the choice. No, I got to get in the word. I get in the word, and she walks in later and goes, what changed? You could just see it. Somebody's countenance is just lifted. What happened? You know what, hon? I just believe God's going to help me overcome. I don't know how. And this could be me at work, probably on a weekly basis. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. My wife will be like, yeah. But then all of a sudden, faith rises in my heart. And that's when all of a sudden, everything changes. I have joy. And everybody can see that. It's visible. When faith comes, the life comes. That is so, so, so critical. I was thinking, like, even naturally, think of Lazarus, this story, right? He dies, and his sisters are there, Mary and Martha. They're downcast. And what does he say to them? He says in John 11, I'm just going to, 25 and 26, if you want to make a note of it, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? It was all his question. I think that was to Martha, Mary, whoever it was to. The question was just, do you believe? Do you believe? When we believe, then all of a sudden, that was a natural example, right? Then that was where the life came for Lazarus, was Jesus wanted to know, do you believe that I can naturally raise your brother from the dead? I think he was speaking both. You were getting both right there. Like, do you believe I actually am the resurrection and the life? I actually could bring life to your brother right now. I could call him out of that grave, which he did. But naturally, or spiritually speaking too, I think for each of us, as we go through each day, just to have faith. For those of you who work, for me that works, whatever your trial is, I was thinking this morning, there's a number of moms not here, right? They're not here because probably, like my family, sick kids, right? the trials at home for a mom, right? Whatever it might be, right? But to have faith as we go through the day, for those who are working, whatever your day looks like, each one of us will go through circumstance that when mixed with unbelief, could bring us downcast and discouragement. But when mixed with faith, there can be life. There can be the life of Jesus Christ. That was really the simple thing that struck me this morning. You know, there are other passages. Psalm 81 is one that I have shared before and I love. Because when we talk about having the life and coming back, he says he was exhorting the Israelites there in Psalm 81, I have noted here 8 to 16, but he said to them, hear, O my people, and I'll admonish you. Hear, O Israel, if you listen to me, let there be no strange God among you, nor shall you worship any foreign God. It's speaking to that part about that we would be guarding our heart, that we weren't seeking to find life in something else. And he says to you, he's saying to them, I, the Lord, am your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I would fill it. Right? He said, I would give you that which brings life. If you would open up your mouth wide. And that's true today. He said, I've come that you would have life and have it abundantly. So his desire is that. And that's our desire. Even I was thinking, you know, Paul said, he said, the goal of our instruction is what? Love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith, I believe is what he said. And I think like that's true. But I think too, I'm like, what's the goal of our instruction? I would say, all of us could say, hey, if we're meeting together and we're assembling together, what's the goal? I come back to this. We will not go wrong if we say our goal is that each of us would be walking in the life of Jesus Christ, walking in abundant life. And if we're walking in abundant life, that won't happen without a good conscience, a sincere faith, love, all of those things. This is the goal of why, not just our instruction, it's the goal of why we meet, why we seek to encourage one another. But he said there in that passage, and I would just say this is a warning too, and I'm just going to wrap up as well. But he said, so I gave them, there was a warning there. He says, they did not understand my ways, right? And that all comes back to this part about faith, right? I'm going to leave that passage with you. I would encourage you to have a look at that passage. Because he's talking there about having a life. Similarly, Isaiah 55, right? He says there too, he says, why are you spending your money on all these things? But there's an element there of understanding God's ways, right? That when he all of a sudden allows those difficulties we talked about, we had a great Bible study Friday night talking about James 1 and talking about the trials and that. We have to understand the Lord's ways, but all of that comes back to so that we can have faith. And that was really the part I want to just leave with you this morning. And perhaps you're saying, this is where my mind goes. I never like to stand up and say, well, we need to have faith and then walk off. How do we get faith? And I always come back to this. If you're sitting here saying, you know what? If I were to analyze where I sit today, I would say to you, yes, I'm willing. I can't see anything in my life that I would want to hold on to that I wouldn't be willing to let go of. If the Lord put his finger on it and said, would you be willing to lay that down? I would be willing to do that. And yet I don't see myself, if I'm honest on the other side, I don't see the life of Christ. And probably it's because of faith. If I was honest, I say this because if there was one this morning that was sitting here saying that, and I could encourage that one, of course I would do it, right? So perhaps that's you to say, you know what, I do believe. It's probably the fact that, yeah, I've become downcast. I've become discouraged. I get in the word, but it's nothing to me. It's become almost a dead word. It's not being mixed with faith, and it's not bringing life for me. If perhaps there's one that would say that, then our heart's desire, our longing is to see faith rise again in the heart. And my encouragement to you is cry out, like that passage we often quote when Jesus said to that man, he says, if you can do anything, Jesus, what was it? I think it was heal my child. I think it was what he was asking. And Jesus said, if I can do anything, if you can believe, right? This comes back to this thing. It is about faith. And what did that man say is a wonderful response. That's why we come back to it. He said, Lord, I believe and help me with my unbelief. He just humbled himself right there. And I think that's a great starting point. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But God gives grace to the humble. And so if you're sitting here and you're feeling downcast and wanting to have faith because you're sitting here going, oh, I want the life of Christ. I just am not experiencing it. Then humble yourself. Just say, Lord, if it's been unbelief, forgive me and help me with my unbelief. And be diligent to spend time with him. Get into his word because that faith comes by hearing. And when you get into his word, even if it's for 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes because of the kids and that's all that you have, or because you've got a busy day at work and that's all that you have, cry out to him and say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Lord, feed me with that living word that will bring faith today for whatever it is that you know lies ahead of me, because I want that. Just cry out to him. He is a good heavenly Father. He wants you to have life. He came for that reason. He sent his son for that reason, that we would have life and have it abundantly. And so I encourage you, just cry out to him. Lord, I want life, and I know it comes by faith, and perhaps my faith has been weak. Give me faith. Give me that word that will build faith today, that I can have that life that my family would, most part because that's what I long for it myself, but then that others could see it. Others could see that life of Jesus Christ and be drawn to you.